This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. It is a Thursday morning. We're happy you're with us this morning. The 12th day of December. We are counting down now till Christmas. I can't believe again how quickly things have flown by. It seems like Thanksgiving was yesterday, and wow.
Every year, bless you, Carl. Every year seems to go by quicker.
Yeah. I had a particularly bad customer service situation the other day with a store in St. Louis. It's a national chain, but I was very disappointed with it, I'll just have to say. I'll talk more about that a little later. But ordered something online that was on sale for in-store pickup. Couldn't get there right away. So I had my son go by to try to get it for me with the receipt and his ID. They wouldn't give it to him. Took me a couple more days to get down there, only to find out they had canceled the order and then would not respect the sale price. And I just couldn't. I complained about it on Twitter. I didn't go any further than that. I've sent emails.
I have not seen this tweet. Then
I was a little peeved. I'll just have to say I'm sorry. I tried to pick it up. I made a good faith effort to get it, and they still wouldn't honor the sale price. It cost me $50 more than it would have otherwise.
Oh my gosh! And 2 days, you're saying, is all it took for you to go get it?
No. It was about a week, but in between, my son had gone down and tried to pick it up, and they wouldn't let him have it. So not a good look. So hopefully you've had better shopping experiences than I have so far for this Christmas season. Of course, I'm lucky because I'm a dude and I basically have to shop for my wife. I'm just being honest about it.
I'll shop for my mother and my wife,
and she miraculously takes care of most everything else. So
gift giving, like gifts, you know, the five love languages, if you've ever looked into those, that is just not my thing. My husband and I are just not big on that. I care about getting people the right gift, so I end up getting really stressed out about it because I want to pick out something good that they're really going to like, and I just never can think of what that is. And
booze.
I feel like, well, that's your go-to. I feel like society, we're just so big on the gifts. It's like we all get so wrapped up in it.
I know.
No pun intended.
It's not about the gift. It's supposed to be about the thought, right? So my thoughts just got warped in that particular attempt, I'll have to say. All right, coming up, we're going to get to Jennifer Nassauer, talk more about all of the clemency and the pardons that Joe Biden announced yesterday on top of the Hunter Biden mess. And, you know, what's going to happen next? Is he really going to, like, preemptively pardon people like Liz Cheney out of fear that Trump's DOJ is going after him? I don't know. We'll get to Jennifer here in a few minutes. We've got Tom Ackerman in studio at the bottom of the hour. He's got a lot to talk about. Some big football games this weekend, basketball. You just never know. Rubik's Cube tournaments. You never know what Tom's going to bring in here. So we got him coming up here at the bottom of the hour. But first, Carl, our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Christopher Wray, the FBI director, is making this announcement right now. He says now is his time to go. As you mentioned, he has a 10-year term. All FBI directors do.
All right. Glad to hear Christopher Wray stepping away from the FBI. And guess who's coming to dinner next?
We look forward to a very smooth transition at the FBI.
That's Kash Patel. I got sound with him discussing with Glenn Beck who's actually holding the little black book from Epstein. Who's got the names? Well, if it survives long enough and doesn't get sent to the shredder, it's the director of the FBI, which will soon be Kash Patel.
We'll say it over and over. Violence is never the answer. This guy gets a trial who's allegedly killed the CEO of United Health. But you can only push people so far.
That's Elizabeth Warren, Senator Pocahontas, talking about January 6th protesters. No, wait a minute. She's not talking about January 6th protesters. She's talking about the guy that gunned down in cold murder a healthcare executive, and she's excusing it. Are you kidding me?
Welcome to the Hotel California.
And you might ask yourself on this Thursday morning, why in the world among the top stories is Carl playing the Eagles? And it would be a really good question, because it's something we only discovered this week. And no, we're not sending you to the Sphere in Las Vegas. But we are giving away tickets to the Styx concert that's coming up in August with Kevin Cronin of REO. And we only discovered yesterday, according to Carl, that Don Felder is also going to be part of that, right?
Yeah.
He so they'll be playing some Eagle songs?
Yeah. In fact, that's, I think, all he's going to be playing. He'll also probably play heavy metal, which is a great song.
So he's warming up for Cronin and then Styx?
Yeah.
Wow. That ought to be a good concert. Well, how would you like a pair of tickets? We're giving some away right now. 314-241-9797. Since we're so early in the month, we're just going to go by the day here. We will take caller number 12 to 314-241-9797. Good luck to you. Get a pair of tickets to the concert on August 22nd out at Hollywood Casino Amphitheater. And tickets go on sale officially tomorrow. So you could win a pair before they ever actually go on sale. How about that? That's awesome. Glad to hear that. Hey, by the way, Carl, I haven't got around to playing this yet. I'm going to talk about it several times during the show today. But play me a little bit of Cut 12 here, because the whole idea of a merger between the city and the county may be rearing its ugly head once again.
A St. Louis County lawmaker making the newest pitch to put St. Louis back into St. Louis County. That bill introduced within the last 24 hours. And First Alert 4 investigator David Amelotti is looking into the details tonight for us. David.
It kind of feels like we have this conversation every 10 years in St. Louis. State Rep Ian Mackey says that his 35-page proposal is really just the Better Together plan, verbatim, from 6 years ago, calling it a great blueprint. He says it obviously didn't work.
Stop. Let me get this straight. I don't know Ian Mackey. He's a Democrat. He's a state representative. He has taken the blueprint of something that was such an utterly bad idea that it didn't get past, like, it got like a month past its launch date and it died because it was such a bad idea. You know what the bad idea was? Let's let the entire state vote on whether St. Louis City and County should merge, because they know that if the vote was ever limited to just the residents of the city and the county, it would never pass.
Because the people in the city probably would want to merge with the county, but the county would not. Why would you ever want the sinking ship that is St. Louis City to merge into the county?
It's a bailout.
St. Louis
County would suffer tremendously under that plan. And they know the only possible way is that a lot of people in the outlying areas don't like the big cities, and they might see it as a way to poke them in the eye and vote for it. Hey, let's let them merge. Who cares? Kind of thing. And completely overruling the wishes of the citizens of St. Louis County. There's no way they would vote to support that. Higher taxes. And here's the thing. Here's the most important thing to take away from this. Republicans have a supermajority down there, and they own the governorship. This isn't going anywhere. It's just not. But even if it did get some traction in Jeff City, here's all you need to understand. The city would become part of the county. It would become a city within the county. And it would suddenly be the largest city within the county. So it would have an inordinate amount of votes on the county council, and it would screw things up at the county level just like they've screwed things up at the city level. Why would you ever agree to that? I don't even know why it's even a thing that people would think this could possibly be good for the region. But this Ian Mackey guy is bringing it up, and I think he knows. He's making headlines. The Post and the local media would love to make this a story again. It's not going anywhere. Take my word for it. All right, coming up, we're going to talk to Jennifer Nasser. She used to be the head of the Republican Party up in Massachusetts. She's also the founder of the Pocketbook Project. Almost said Facebook. She'll kill me for that. We're going to get her on the phone next, talking about these Biden pardons and clemency acts that came down just yesterday. We'll be right back.
Americans are durable. We take pride in hard work and high quality. American Giant makes durable quality clothing right here in the USA, because what we wear reflects who we are. When you buy American Giant, you're not just wearing the best clothes money can buy. You're helping keep jobs and pride in your own backyard. Premium clothing built to last decades, like it should. Get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code RIGHTHERE24.
But first, she didn't do anything wrong.
Of course.
Second, she followed the rules exactly as they were written. Mm-hmm. Third, Trump's State Department mm-hmm. found, they remember how the emails were such a big issue in 2016? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Trump's State Department found that Hillary sent and received exactly zero mm-hmm. classified emails mm-hmm. on her personal device. Mm-hmm. It was a made up phony story.
I don't know why Bill Clinton twice this week has felt the urge to come out and defend Hillary again for something that happened 8 years ago. I mean, are they really concerned that Trump's DOJ is going back 8 years to go after Hillary Clinton because Bill really wants you to believe she didn't send all those classified emails, even though James Comey confirmed for us in testimony that she did? We know that happened. But I don't know why. There's so much going on right now. The last 6 weeks of the Biden administration could be a complete disaster. We've got Jennifer Nassauer on the phone with us this morning. She is, of course, the founder of the Pocketbook Project. And still, I understand, Jennifer, correct, involved with the Massachusetts Republican Party.
I am. I'm the finance chair for the Republican Party and former party chair. So, yeah, still involved.
Congratulations. That's good.
Thank you.
So what are you expecting? I read yesterday where the Biden administration's bragging about some 1,500 people they provided clemency for, and they pardoned 39 more people. I mean, Biden's on a roll, post-Hunter.
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. Look, let's go back to Biden pardoning Hunter. He pardoned him for the last 11 years. That spans a time frame before the gun charges, before the drug charges, before the tax evasion. And so, I mean, if he's going to do that, what is he capable of doing? He clearly knows that Hunter did something else. And look, as a parent, I would want to pardon my kid too. However, he said publicly and numerous times he would not pardon him. And so now he's talking about pardoning people for future indictments and future convictions, which sets such a dangerous precedent. So the pardon power is for federal crimes. People generally send letters and appeal and say, can I please be pardoned from this? I have seen the light. I have paid my dues. I don't know what he thinks that this is going to accomplish, but I don't think it's a good idea. And by the way, 1,500, Obama pardoned about 1,200, so he's way over what Obama's doing.
When it comes to these, let's look at the preemptive pardons that he might give out. Is there any sort of a cap on that, or he really could just do essentially whatever he wanted?
He could do whatever he wanted. I mean, this is... I've never seen anything like this before. I've never heard of anything like this before. So clearly he's writing whatever pardon power he wants into history. I just think it's dangerous, right? Because you don't know who is going to be indicted in the future. You don't know the crimes that someone's going to commit. So now you say, okay, you're pardoned. And then on federal land, someone injures or kills, someone else, right? I mean, it's like someone embezzles money from government. You have a whole array of things that could possibly happen that you're expunging their record and saying, forget it, you're all set, good.
Yeah, it's basically a get out of jail free card, right? I mean, this is the thing about it. I heard a bunch of members of the J6 committee yesterday, including Cheney, say we didn't do anything wrong. They don't have any power to come after members of Congress. Well, if that's true, then they wouldn't need a preemptive pardon, correct?
Correct. I mean, that's one of the things. And Cheney had said there's no factual or constitutional basis for what is being suggested. And that's true because it was the work of Congress. However, once again, there's no reason then to pardon any of them, right? I mean, and when you look at other people even Adam Schiff said he would recommend against blanket pardons, right? So, I mean, you have Democrats that are saying it's a bad idea. And so I just think that he really needs to stop and think hard about this. I have no faith in this administration or anything that they have done or will do. But Biden can pardon Kamala Harris, who had been a complete failure and let in criminals and terrorists from the border. So who knows?
Yeah, it's a good point. My guess is the worst is yet to come with 6 weeks left. Who knows what else he's cooking up there. Jennifer, thank you for your time today.
Thanks so much.
You bet. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. All that good stuff. We appreciate getting you on here. Yeah, 1,500 individual clemencies yesterday. What else could he do between now and January 19th? Wow. Coming up, we'll get to Tommy Ackerman, talk a little bit of sports. So there's a big, isn't there a football game tomorrow night he's interested in? I think so. Indiana's playing. We'll be back in a minute.
A great sports mind like Tom Ackerman.
Baseball's really not a hard sport.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
It's like powered by coffee this morning.
Sports, sponsored by McDonald's, reminding you to round up your total for Ronald McDonald House Charities on your next order.
All right, Tom Ackerman in studio with us, and everybody is excited to see what Mizzou does next, I guess, coming off their big win over Kansas, right?
Yeah, I mean, the bragging rights game has really turned out to be an exciting one on December 22nd. It's a hot ticket, not only because they're good, but Illinois is good. Illinois beat Wisconsin the other night. Huge game for Illinois on Saturday. They play number one Tennessee in Champaign at 4:30 on Fox. I think they're going to beat them. And Illinois is good. This might be Brad Underwood's most talented team, and that's saying something. He's had some great teams, including last year's team that got, you know, ran into a freight train at the end of their NCAA tournament run. But they are very good this time around, and I think it's going to be a heck of a game. I think Missouri is really good. I think that they are athletic. I think they are long. I think they have all kinds of, you know, ability to get steals because of their length on defense. They do have some players that can score, but I'm really impressed with their ability to get up and down the floor. They made Kansas look very average and kind of, you know, rattled them. I think the crowd had a lot to do with that. But the bragging rights game is always awesome. You know, when Mizzou and Illinois hook up, it's a St. Louis tradition, and it's cool to see it get back to that. Hopefully it gets back to that. I want to see that place packed and rocking on Sunday.
Yeah, yeah, I'm sure it will be.
Sunday the 22nd.
And Mizzou's awesome. Got a couple games between now and then, so they can still get tuned up for it.
Yeah, I mean, not much. Yeah, it'll be just little tune-ups here and there and some practices, and then they'll get after it. It's going to be a monster game. But again, Illinois, with their ability, I think they could really get some national attention. They lost to Northwestern and then came back and beat Wisconsin at home. I've been to a lot of great college basketball buildings through the years, and I still think that Illinois is underrated. I just love that place. And it used to be called Assembly Hall. Now it's the State Farm Center. And it rocks. It's awesome. And I think that if I could, I would go to that, actually. I don't go there very often. I'm still kind of maybe talking myself into it. Going to see them when they play on a big stage like that is fun. That is a great place to play.
I'll bet.
Really, really great.
I've already bought my tickets for the Mizzou-Kentucky game in March.
Oh, good.
I just bought them in advance because it's the closest Kentucky will play to St. Louis without me having to drive to Lexington and beg for a
cool.
ticket somewhere.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm going.
Absolutely, you should
be
that.
Game. Be the last game of the season.
That place will rock, too. When they get rolling. I saw Kentucky beat Gonzaga. That was nice, although yesterday I think you had a little bit of a struggle with Colgate.
Colgate got lucky and hit a few threes in the first half. Yeah. We smoked him in the second half.
I love that coach, man. I think Pope is going to have them rolling.
Yeah.
Gotta bring up Kentucky.
Yeah, you do.
I brought up Mizzou first.
Well, it's because they're playing Kentucky.
Eventually they will. They're in the SEC.
We were talking this morning about Bill Belichick going to the University of North Carolina. I think that's really... When I saw
freakish.
That news last night, I'm like, what?
It's weird.
Were you surprised by that too?
I was surprised by that. You know, when his name was connected with them early on when they dismissed Mack Brown and some people put, you know, there was an AI-generated photo of Belichick wearing North Carolina gear. I kind of laughed. I'm like, yeah. But then, you know, he actually went and interviewed with them. I'm like, oh boy, this is going to happen. I mean, if Belichick makes the effort to go to speak to them. So there is a connection there. I believe it was his father was an assistant coach there back in the day. And there's just some intrigue. You know, you can't take the coach out of the coach. I mean, this is what they do. And I think there's some intrigue with NIL. Because you can build a team very quickly, as Kurt Cignetti just showed at Indiana. If you get transfers and you can put together a team that you want very quickly through the transfer portal, and you have NIL backing, which North Carolina has that kind of money, you can put a team together very quickly. And if I were in the portal, and there are like hundreds, maybe over 1,000 players who are going to be in the portal, and I wanted to go somewhere that would prep me for the NFL, is there a better coach to prep you for the NFL than Bill Belichick, who might be the greatest of all time, who's won 6 Super Bowls? I don't care that he's 72 years old. The guy knows football and knows how to get you ready for the next level. So,
and you could play the game with your coach. Who's younger, my girlfriend or yours?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
It is a 48-year,
I was actually waiting for that.
Age. That's weird. 24 years old. That girl probably has a grandpa who's around.
I don't know, man.
That person's age.
That's weird. I cover sports, not the personal life.
That's weird. Weird.
Yeah.
You're right.
I think they're going to want to go just because they're going to want to say they were coached by Bill Belichick.
Just put out a sign. I coached, Brady and all these other players in the NFL. If you want to play in the NFL, come play for me.
It is. It's a very interesting story, though.
But hasn't UNC football, I'm just thinking of Indiana football and basketball, Kentucky football and basketball. One has been much more prominent than the other. That's got to be the case at UNC, right? Their football team's always been overshadowed by their basketball team.
Sure, and it always will be. Yeah. But their team is good. It's a great stadium. It's great tradition. I think they've done very well through the years, and it was a little surprising that Mac Brown couldn't get them back to what they were, although he had them going there for a little bit. It's all about your quarterback, and once their quarterback left, I think they took a little bit of a dive. But, you know, again, ACC is a gettable league, as we just saw. SMU darn near won the league. It ended up being Clemson by default almost. I mean, they found their way into the ACC championship game and won it. Best team in the ACC was Miami till they kind of stumbled all over themselves, and now it's Clemson representing the ACC in the college football playoff. I think Bill thinks he's got a shot. I'm glad he's not in the Big Ten. I don't want to go up against him. I'd prefer, as much as I love our coach, I'd prefer to avoid that if I can.
Yeah, well, that's probably
Belichick true. Belichick just finds ways to win, even though the end of with the Patriots didn't work out very well.
Didn't I see a picture of Mo, I don't know if it was in the Post or what, at the airport heading off to some meetings where they were talking about where he may be looking for players? For the Cardinals or not? Did I misunderstand that?
No, I mean, their purpose right now is to figure out how they're going to trade Nolan Arenado. And when they do that, they will get prospects in return, maybe even a good young player in return. They may try to trade some other people, but, you know, they're not going to just give these players away. But Arenado and the Cardinals are at an understanding that Arenado wants to play for a world champion. He wants to play for the Dodgers. I don't think they're going to take him. Max Muncy's their third baseman, and they've already said that. I don't know where he's going to go, but the Cardinals will get something for him. And when Mozeliak says publicly that he's intending to trade Arenado, it means he's going to trade him. He's not going to pull back unless there's a change of heart somehow on both sides.
Yeah. Well,
you know who's hot right now, Tom?
Who's it?
St. Louis Blues.
They play tonight 5-1-1 under Jim Montgomery. I actually have to go on KMOX to talk about it. And because of that, Carl, I'm going to lead with that. I'm going to lead with the Blues here at 6:45.
Very nice.
See?
5-1-1 under the new coach.
Wear lavender or purple tonight because it's Hockey Fights Cancer Night.
Very
tonight.
Good.
All right. Good. Tommy, thank you.
Bye, guys.
Appreciate that. Yep, you bet. I hadn't paid no attention. I'm glad you told us that, Carl.
That is Hockey Fights Cancer Night, or that the Blues are playing tonight?
That the Blues are 5-1-1 under the new coach. I had not paid that. Had slipped under my radar.
This will be, he has played at home, but this will probably be his first win tonight.
Is that the motivation that they needed? Was that new coach, you think?
He's letting the younger guys play a lot more than Drew Bannister did.
Okay.
Which was like, why do you have these young guys? Bannister's thing was, you don't want to ruin these young players, so you play them limited number of minutes. But Monty's thing is, we got them, let's play them. And they're scoring and they're
young
playing
legs,
better.
Let's hit it. Absolutely. Yep. Good for him.
They still have teeth to knock out.
They wear guards. On
they all wear mouth guards.
I know,
or
but
not.
How many hockey players have? If you took when you take those guards out, how many hockey players have at least had a couple teeth knocked out?
Keith Tkachuk, Walt Tkachuk, scored a goal by getting hit in the face, getting a tooth knocked out, and it bounced in the goal.
Oh.
One, and that was like
way to take one for the team, I guess.
Right before he retired.
Yes.
He had kept his entire mouth until right before he retired.
Yep. You got to be tough in that sport. No doubt about it. All right. Coming up, we're going to get to In Other News with Ethan here in a few minutes. Next hour, we'll talk to Ed Martin, a St. Louisan, who is going to be part of the Trump administration. We'll talk it over with him at about 7:35. Stay tuned.
Happening. Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news.
I could tell Mark looks thrilled.
What is happening on my radio show?
Carl's dancing. Mark looks concerned and confused.
I was not dancing. I was jumping in joy to look at Mark's face.
Well, Mark, Nelly, Chingy, and the members of the list, St. Lunatics, will embark on a Where's the Party At World Tour in 2025, marking the 25th anniversary of Nelly's diamond-certified debut album, Country Grammar. The tour spans 54 dates across four continents, but surprisingly, they're not coming to St. Louis. St. Lunatics member Cage Wan hinted, though, on social media that there is a potential surprise hometown show they just haven't announced yet.
Okay.
Well, I was going to say, is it because he was just arrested not that long ago for, was it cocaine or something?
No.
Ecstasy? What was found in his car?
He got, all charges were dropped.
Oh, I'm sure they were.
Yeah,
maybe,
but
that
was
part of the deal. The police are like, look, buddy, we'll drop the charges. Just you cannot come back to St. Louis
for Scott
a while.
Rosenblum said,
yes.
It was an overzealous police officer.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. Whatever. He was charged with something. I can't remember what it was. But he's got a new mouth to feed, right? So he probably needs the cash.
Yeah, he just had a baby with a shot.
Yeah. Yeah.
George Kreske Jr., better known as the Amazing Kreskin, did pass away on Tuesday at 89 in New Jersey. He was a renowned mentalist in entertainment. Kreskin drew inspiration from the comic book character Mandrake the Magician to launch a decades-long career starting in the 60s. He was popular guest on the talk show circuit with Merv Griffin, Johnny Carson, and Jimmy Fallon all having him on. And he captivated audiences with his mind tricks like guessing cards and locating hidden items. They did not say what he died from.
With all psychics, do you think he saw it coming?
Ah-ha.
I mean, he often said he was not a psychic. He was just
a mentalist. And he could bend spoons with his mind.
There you go. Huh. But he couldn't stop the ravages of time.
He was on Carson all the time.
Yes, he was. I do remember seeing him on there.
Yellowstone season 5 finale. That won't mark the end of the Dutton family saga. It looks like Kelly Riley and Cole Hauser have signed on to lead a new spinoff series, reprising their roles of Beth and Rip. Taylor Sheridan is developing the spinoff, which will share the closest connection to the original Yellowstone series, set in the same present-day timeline.
What a tool Taylor Sheridan is. Can I just say that? I watched that the last... I haven't watched the final episode of this season, but I watched the last one, and the guy is so arrogant. He wrote an entire scene into the show just to show him shirtless because he's jacked. I mean, the guy is jacked. He looks like he works out like 6 hours a day. He's jacked. So there's a scene of him in a pool and a scene of him playing strip poker with girls at a card table with like hardly any clothes on, like just to show off his muscles. Just a complete tool.
He's probably
the guy who
takes gym selfies.
Well, right. It's no wonder the thing
RFK
fell
Jr.
apart, though, because his ego clearly got in the way, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's making a ton of money, though.
He was an actor first.
Yeah.
And he didn't like what directors and producers were doing, so he said, I'm going to write my own stuff.
He can ride a horse. I'll give him credit for that.
He's written a lot of great stuff. Got to give him. Austin Butler looks to star in a new adaptation of Brett Easton Ellis's American Psycho for Lionsgate. Unlike the 2000 film starring Christian Bale, the new version will offer a fresh interpretation of the 1980s story of Patrick Bateman, a Wall Street yuppie and serial killer. The screenplay may emphasize erotic themes over the horror satire that it originally did.
There are no new ideas in Hollywood.
This guy was Elvis in the Elvis movie with Baz Luhrmann.
Yeah.
And he was also the bald guy in Dune Part 2, the psychopath.
Wow.
And so now he's going to be...
I think he'll do a good job. He's a good actor.
Psycho.
Yeah. He's psycho.
He's going to continue to be psycho.
Huh. Kim just messed up this story for me. No, not really. She's all crossing stuff out. Donald Trump has been named Time Magazine's 2024 Person of the Year, marking the second time he has received this honor after winning in 2016. And according to leaked information, because originally this was not going to be announced till tomorrow, Trump will unveil the cover today by ringing in the New York Stock Exchange opening bell.
But by the way, Time just, in your defense, Time just put this on social media 14 minutes ago.
Sorry, there's a dog
so
outside.
This just was announced.
Okay.
Sorry, there's
so
a dog.
It is. It's
official.
Unofficially
Time,
official.
It is official. Time actually posted Donald Trump is Time's Person of the Year and has the cover on there.
Who else would it have been?
Elon Musk. Yeah.
Well, Musk maybe, but I saw that Kamala Harris was in the running.
That's a joke.
Are you kidding me?
Ethan had a.
I thought it was Joe Rogan.
Yeah, but Joe Rogan would have been a good pick, but he really was only key in the last like week or so. Elon Musk would have been a better pick. I think Elon or Donald Trump would have been the two obvious choices for me. Kamala Harris, that's embarrassing. They even considered her, if that's true.
And who else was on this? Kate Middleton.
Kate Middleton, I'm
Mark
sorry.
Zuckerberg.
No. Zuckerberg.
Mala
what
Harris.
Have you done, Zuckerberg? Except censored people.
New president of Mexico.
Yeah.
No.
Really?
Mm-hmm. She was in the top 10.
Hmm. She's about to discover the art of the deal, I'm afraid. I got some bad news for her and how to say that in Spanish, but that's coming. All right, coming up, we're going to talk to former Senator Jim Talent. He's going to join us at 7:20. And one of the newest appointees in the Trump administration is our own Ed Martin from here in St. Louis. We've got him live at 7:35. Stay tuned.
Get more at 971talk.com.